Yep. Strange times we're living in these days. Strange times. So after the show, I had to go to the store, pick up some things after the program, and there was a homeless person standing outside the store. And she said, sir, can I have a dollar for gasoline? And I said, yeah, I'll take care of you as soon as I come out. And I do that. And so in the store, I went, picked up the things I needed, and I'm on the way out, and I decided, you know what? I don't have a dollar on me. I have $20 on me. What the heck? And so I went up to her and I said, you wanted a dollar? And she said, yes, sir. And I said, how about 20? And I gave it to her. She freaks out. She lunges on me, starts hugging me, starts kissing my cheek, saying, God love you. And I kind of like had to break loose a little bit. But we made her day, and that's the important thing. Try to help as many people as you can, if you can. We're going to come back with more open line calls in a moment. And don't forget your text messages and your tweets. We've got a couple of those we're going to do too. Okay, welcome back to our final segment of open lines this hour. Let's go right to the phones. Kathy's with us in Midland, Michigan. That's east of the Rockies, of course. Hello, Kathy.
Hi, George. How are you doing?
I'm good, Kath. How about you?
Pretty good. I love your show. I listen to it practically every night.
Well, thank
especially
you.
When you talk about the Bible and Revelation. And that's why I'm calling.
All right.
When I was growing up, all I thought about when I heard about the rainbow was that there was a pot of gold at the end of it. Well, until I became a Christian, I didn't know what the real reason was it for. If you look in Genesis 9, verses 12 to 16, you'll find that that was God's covenant, that he would never destroy the world by flood again.
Yeah, but he may destroy it by something else, right?
Yeah, he said it's reserved for fire.
Yeah, exactly. That sounds like nukes to me.
I don't know. I have no idea what he has.
Don't you think, though, Kath, right now we're in a real strange time?
Oh, yeah, I believe we're in the end times.
You think it's already started?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you're not alone with that. There are a lot of other people that think that's happening.
I know it. When they started taking prayer out of school, that's when everything started going to hell in a handbasket.
Yep, they sure did that. Well, thanks, Kath. Appreciate your call. Let's go next to Thomas in Beverly Hills, Florida. Welcome to the show. Hi, Thomas.
Hey there, George.
Okay.
Thanks for having me again. And I called. This is my second time calling you.
I'm going to put you on hold. Maybe we can get a better signal out of your phone. Now we go to Hollywood, Florida. How about all these California cities? Frank's there on the wild card line. Hey, Frank.
George, it's Hollywood, Maryland. There was a Hollywood, Maryland before there was a Hollywood, Florida.
Yeah, all right. So he's got you in Hollywood, Florida here.
I'm glad to be back with you.
He's collapsed around.
I was going to talk about the president tonight, but I don't think you want me to. I'd rather talk about the strange things.
Yeah, tell me about the strange thing.
All right. Of course you're familiar with the Shroud of Turin.
Go ahead, Frank.
The Shroud of Turin, we're all familiar with it. I believe, more than I don't, that it is the burial cloth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever been on a back road after it rains, or during a hot day when the sun melts part of the blacktop?
Yeah, I think I have.
All my life, I see when there are lines on something, I see faces on it. Now, I've been calling you 9.5 years now. November will be 10.
Yes, you have.
Do I sound seemingly sane to you?
Yes.
All right.
I like how you said seemingly.
These pictures, these pictures in the blacktop of the road, and on other places too, on different things, I see lines. These lines make faces, and I would dismiss it as something silly, but the coordination of the face, the eye sockets, nose, mouth, and chin are coordinated like you would see in any picture.
And these are big faces or little faces?
Leonardo da Vinci, Renoir, Picasso, Cezanne, or any of them, they couldn't draw or they couldn't draw a picture any clearer than these pictures come about. And they all look the same. They're a Middle Eastern type individual with woolly hair and a beard. Not 99% of them have. I mean, how can I say this without sounding like I'm crazy or something?
And how do you see them in the road? I mean, do you have to walk on the streets to look down?
No. When you're driving along and your lights are on, if I could hook up a camera underneath the car.
And you see them ahead of you, for example?
Ahead of me and almost under me, because the way the lights shine on the car.
Okay, so they come up really fast on you.
Really fast, right. And then some were so vivid, I said, I got to stop the car, go look at it, and take a picture of a couple of them with my camera. But I can't be doing that. It's quite a few of them. I can't do that all night. I mean, it would sound ridiculous to do that, but and then have you ever seen the bright side? Have you ever seen drove down a country road and seen a barn, an old barn, with paint peeling off it?
Yeah, of course.
All right. Have you ever seen the lines that make a face of any kind?
You know, are you talking about like when you look at a cloud and you can see something like a dog or whatever?
Yeah. I've seen one cloud formation where it was a perfect happy face, but it was square, not round.
So what do you think? Let's assume you're seeing these images. Why are you seeing them? What do you think it means?
I don't know. I want to ask you that. I'm sort of halfway believing that. They can't be the image of our Lord. They can't. They just can't be. I'm not. I'm only a 240 hitting Catholic. I'm not. the greatest. If I can go to a baseball analogy. So why would these signals be sent to me? I'm just a regular guy. Although I'm blessed. I think I feel good. I'm 69 years old. Never had a sick day in my life.
You see these pictures all the time.
Practically every night when I'm driving, it's on back road. It's never on the highway. Never.
What if I would say you have a vivid imagination and you think you're seeing these pictures?
Oh no. If I take a picture of them and send them to you,
would you be able to capture a picture of them?
On some of them, you would need a pointer to point out the contortions of the face, the eyes, nose, and
so you're saying it's not that obvious?
Well, some of them are very, very obvious. If you see the same thing I see, there's nothing wrong with my eyesight. As a matter of fact, at the last time on examination, my eyesight is excellent.
Has anybody been with you and they've seen the same thing?
No. I'm always alone, but if I can point it out to somebody riding with me, like my wife or something, at first they're going to say, well, you're nuts. But if I can just take a picture of it and show the outline. See, the reason this comes about is because one time I was dating this young lady. She had a T-shirt on, and it was something naughty on it. But you had to look at it from a certain angle to see it. I never saw it, but then she pointed it out to me. Then I saw it.
Then you said, all right, I'm going to guess, Frank, that your mind sees these things. No doubt about that, but it's creating the images that you see. That's my guess. I don't think there's anything supernatural going on here or a message. But we shall see. And this is apparently it's been going on for some time. First time caller, Kenneth in Columbia, Missouri. Welcome to the show. Hey, Kenneth. Good to have you with us.
How are you, buddy?
Okay.
George, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure.
You too.
I got a question for you because I've had one experience with Bigfoot, and I know it's a little off topic.
No, nothing's off topic with open lines.
But I want to ask you because I know someone who I respect, Shane Goodall, who believe in giant epiphagus, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
She did, but the Native Americans believed that it was a supernatural being. What do you believe, George?
I think that people are seeing something, one, that's absolutely sure. Now the question is, what are they looking at? Let's go back to when I got interested in this and I was a kid and I would read stories about the abominable snowman in the Himalayas, the white-looking creature man. Fascinated with that. I think that's what Sasquatch and Bigfoot might be, too. Now, could it be an ape? Some sightings it very well could be. But I do think that there's something else out there. Some other creature, not a lot of them out there, that we just haven't been able to identify yet, lives in the woods, lives in caves. People are seeing these creatures. There's way too many folks that have reported seeing these slumbering things walking across the road and things like that. I think they're real. I think there's something to it, to be sure. I don't know if we've done a text or tweet yet, Tom, but we'll get ready for you in just a minute here with, what do you have, a text or a tweet?
This is going to be a text from Kara in Louisiana.
Okay.
She says, hey, George, I have one for you. The strangest thing I've seen by far is a rattlesnake eat a whole mouse. Now, that was strange and disgusting.
Extremely.
Ew.
What does she want?
She's just saying that was strange to her that she saw a rattlesnake eat a mouse.
Do you think this is cruel?
Yes.
If you have a pet snake and you go to the pet store and you buy live mice and drop them into the snake cage to feed the snake.
Yeah, not my thing.
That's not my thing.
Either. Yeah, because people, I've seen people do it actually just because they think it's amusing.
I don't think that's amusing.
I don't think it's amusing.
Nothing funny about seeing a snake eat something else that's alive.
No.
Okay, let's, and you got Thomas in Beverly Hills, Florida working here? His phone?
Yeah, it should be better now.
Okay, let's give it a try, Thomas. Go ahead.
Hi there, sir.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, it's a little better.
Okay, sorry about that.
That's all right.
This is my second time calling you. I always love listening to the show. I listen to you every day. I come home from work. I got an hour's drive.
Well, thank you.
The show.
Appreciate it.
I was calling because I heard it's, you know, the strangest thing you've seen today. And a couple weeks ago, might have been last week, you had a guest on that was from Western North Carolina. I called, you know, a few months back. I had an experience I told you about. It was very freaky. It actually got me, you know, scared of the dark because of some stuff I had seen and experienced. But this is in the same town that I'm telling you about now.
Okay.
I was outside of my job. I won't say, you know, who I work for, but I was outside of my job, and I was looking up. I had a buddy of mine. I was on lunch. I was looking out over a store, over a tree line in Western North Carolina, in Franklin, North Carolina, right next to Cullowhee, where she was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I seen this orb, just this black, perfect sphere, just up in the sky.
Big, small?
At a distance. It was fairly large. I mean, it looks large in it. I mean, I was at a distance. I mean,
if you could see it at a distance, it had to be big.
Away.
Yeah.
And it was just, in what got me interested about it is it was perfectly still. Wasn't moving. I'm like, you know, there ain't nothing I've ever seen that can stay perfectly still. And yeah, like it wasn't no hot air balloon or anything like that. You know, so,
wasn't a blimp.
No, it was not a blimp. It was perfectly round. Nothing down below. I mean, it was perfectly round. And I got my buddy who's a witness to it. You know, we were sitting there on lunch. I'm just looking at it. And then finally, you know, a few minutes went by and it disappeared. And I'm like, well, where did it go? And I'm, you know, I'm bending all kinds of ways to see if I can see it again. And I'm walking away and my buddy's talking to me. And he's like, what are you doing? I said, I seen something over there and now it's gone. And he says, what do you mean? And I said, look. I said, and I turned and I looked at him and I looked back and there it was again.
Just popped back in again.
It just popped back in again. Right there, perfectly round, black. Just, I mean, and it was like good size. And I said, look, right there. And I told him kind of where to look. And sure enough, he seen it too. And then, you know, all of a sudden, boom, it was moved over, like, you know, for me, it looked, you know, a couple inches to the left. But, I mean, for them, it was probably a good bit. I just thought it was interesting.
They're
in the same area.
There is a debate about these objects coming from other dimensions, popping in, popping out. And that could very well be what you were saying, because they just blink in and they blink out. Simple as that. Let's go to Daniel in Wichita, Kansas. Welcome to the show. Hi, Daniel. Thanks for calling.
George, how you doing?
Okay.
I'm sorry. I got something serious to talk about.
All right.
But first, I want to say this. There's supposedly a famine that's about to happen in Africa, in the Middle East. I live in Wichita, Kansas, and I drive around and fish quite a bit. We have mountains. I mean, mountains of wheat. It's just after harvest now here in Kansas. Our elevators are completely full. And we have mountains of wheat at every elevator on the ground.
We could feed the world, couldn't we?
We could feed the world. Someone could feed the world. Now what I want to talk about. Have you heard of an author named Everett Stern?
I have not.
He wrote a book called Too Big to Go to Jail. And it's about HSBC. And they were recently fined $1.9 billion,
which is chump change for them.
He said that it's less than 72 hours of their dealings, and what these people were dealing with, and this came from the top down, and he was a compliance officer for them before he went whistleblower, and
I bet they hate him.
Well, I imagine they do.
Yeah.
What happened was they got convicted, or they admitted to laundering Hezbollah, Al-Qaeda, Islamic State, and six different drug cartels. From South America.
All cash, cash money, wasn't it?
Right. And these people did not do one day in jail.
Nope.
Do you realize that we have the highest per capita incarceration rate in the United States than any developed country? And do you know what the majority, the highest percentage, I don't think it's 50%, but it's the highest single percentage of people that are in prison, federal and state.
Petty drugs.
Are drugs.
Yep.
And these people, I've always heard, when it comes down to it, how bad America is, people knock it, and they always say, but we are a nation of law, and what goes for one goes for all. And the hypocrisy, this book is it just made me sick to my stomach. And let me tell you, three of the board members of HSBC are former Director Comey of the FBI, Eric Holder, and Loretta Lynch.
How about that? The clock's got us, but you're right about that. Bank, all they did was pay a fine, and it was nothing to them at all. Money laundering, that's what they were doing. We're going to come back in a moment here on Coast to Coast with final phone calls. Don't touch your dial. Okay, welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you with our final segment. By the way, next weekend, not this one, next weekend, we'll be in Everett, Washington at our live stage show event, and it is something I'm really looking forward to. Sold out out that way. People coming from everywhere, so we'll give you a full report on that afterward. Let's go to Robert, truck driving in Illinois. Welcome to the show. Hello, Robert.
Hey, how you doing?
Wonderful. Whereabouts in Illinois are you?
I've been a hold of you guys for like 15 years.
Well, you made it.
Yeah, no kidding. Amazing. You ever hear about the USS Scorpion?
Yes, I sure did. That was a tragedy.
Yes, it was. Well, my dad's submarine is one of the three survivors on that. And I remember Art Bell was... he had some guy there from the Navy was there trying to find out what happened to him. And I was over at a friend's house, probably like, I don't know, 10 years ago. He just said, come have a beer, you know. And I'm sitting at the table, and I see the picture of the Spark, the 669. They had a picture there.
I need you to get closer to your phone if you can, Rob.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm talking over the speaker on the thing there.
Yeah.
So I was sitting at the table, and I see the picture of the scorpion, the 669. You know, I go, that's the scorpion there. He goes, how do you know that? I go, well, my dad was on that. And he goes, well, yeah, it sucked. You know, I go, yeah, I know. So he was telling me, I don't know if you remember what Art was talking about. He had one of the Navy guys on there was doing the trying to go down and see what happened to the sub.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so he was telling me, Mr. Small, where he designed the Navy hired him, but the Navy was acting like they're all big shots. Well, you know, we found it, blah blah blah. And in actual reality, they didn't have nothing to do with it, you know? Found this, was Mr. Small. They hired him to design something to go deep enough to find out what, you know, where it was at. Well, they knew it was at. They just want to know what happened to it. And, you know, the bow was all smashed in, you know? But he was telling me there was another Russian submarine with the same issues with the bow busted off. So I guess they were playing chicken down there somewhere, but they never told anybody about that.
Yeah, that was a tragedy. That happened, by the way, in 1968. To this day, they don't know what caused it to sink. 99 crew on that submarine. Very tragic. It was made by General Dynamics. A long time ago, launched in 1959. It was a tragedy. We lost another one too, called the USS Thresher. If you might remember that one too, that was a horrible tragedy. And the Soviets lost a submarine called the K-129. I don't know if you've ever been in a submarine. I have not been in the Navy, but never been in a submarine. Let's go to Anonymous on our wild card line. Welcome to the show. Hi, Anonymous.
Hello. I'd like to tell you something that happened to me up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
Okay. Can I ask also, why are we calling you Anonymous?
I come from a preacher's family.
A preacher's family. Okay.
Yeah, and if they were, and everybody knows everybody in Michigan or in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
Sure.
And if they would find out the story that I'm telling you, which is true, he would be ineffective in his ministry.
All right.
Okay. I was up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. I was living with two pastors, and one of them was married to my grandmother and my uncle, and there's my grandfather. So we had a little chicken farm up there, and I was about 12 or 13 years old in fifth or sixth grade. That would be about 1995, possibly 94.
Okay.
And I heard on TV about this Egyptian archaeologist who held a hieroglyph up in the sky. And was struck by some type of ball lightning. So I was going to prove that was not true. So I made an Egyptian hieroglyph.
At that age?
Yes, at that age. And I held it up at a stormy night because I thought, oh, I'm going to prove this is all a bunch of baloney. And I was struck by some type of ball lightning.
Oh, jeez.
And I went down and I blacked out. And then I woke up, I thought, oh, gee, I was only down there for a couple minutes. So I ran back to my cottage. And my grandmother tells me, no, you're out for a couple hours.
Wow.
And I thought, you're dead. I was going to call the ambulance or one of our neighbors. And, well, I thought, ooh, I really I really dodged that bullet.
You sure did.
I could have died.
And you found out it works.
Right. And then three nights later, we start seeing these funny lights inside the night sky. And it was like a meteorite rolling around in a circle high up inside the sky. So my Uncle Ted, my uncle grabs his .30-06 because he thinks that it's some Black Ops project going over.
And that's a rifle to those who might not know.
Right. He loads it, right? Because we were sort of hicks back then. We've matured now. So I was taught to shoot a gun at the age of 12. So I just learned how to shoot a gun. So I was loading my shotgun with birdshot. And then suddenly this light comes down right around our chicken coop, a little ways away from our chicken coop.
Okay.
And it's a white orb, and it's hovering like, I don't know, 6 yards up in the sky, or up from the ground. So we think, well, maybe it's swamp gas, and maybe what we saw was a car light. So we turn on the light, and that orb shot right up into the sky and started making these circles again. And then we turned off the porch light again, and the orb dropped back down, only a few yards from the ground.
How big was it?
How big was it?
Yeah.
Oh, it was probably 3 yards in diameter.
Okay, 9 feet.
9 feet, right. So we turn on the light, and we still have the unction to go out there and try to see what it is. So we're running out there with our guns, and... Anyway, suddenly we freeze, and there's this terrifying feeling that comes over us, and it's very cold, right? Very, very cold, and all of a sudden I black out, and Ted, my uncle, is just a few yards ahead of me. So anyway, what happens is that I try to force my eyes open, right, because I get up at 6 o'clock at night in the morning to go to school.
Yeah,
we live about 35 miles from our school, so I have to get up early. And so I start forcing my eyes open, and all of a sudden there's these chalky white creatures.
Are you inside the house by now, or are you still outside?
We're outside at the edge of our property.
Okay.
They have these heads, they're small, and they're running from out of the edge of the woods.
Were they like little these so-called alien grays?
They may have been. At the time, I did not know what they were. I would assume that's what they were at the time. So my uncle said, shoot one of them.
Oh, my gosh.
And I go, well... And then I'm afraid I'll clip it. I'm afraid that with the bird shot, because it goes out with the scatter, that I would clip my uncle's leg with it because I'm standing behind
him. Okay, he was too close,
so,
yeah.
Right, so I decided not to do that. So I, being a 12-year-old kid, I crack a joke. And this alien's lens falls out, and there's human eyes, big human eyes. And it's focusing. The pupil is trying to focus. And then I black out again.
He's that close to you, though?
He's about 5 yards away.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
Okay. So then we open our eyes. They're still standing. The light's gone. And I have my gun, and my uncle's up there, and he has a shotgun.
Now, did he black out at all?
I don't know. He was standing there. All I know is I blacked out for a while. I reemerged. I tried to open up my eyes, and then I blacked out again.
Jeez.
So anyway, I have my shotgun, and my uncle has his .30-06. And he says, well, David, I think we should go in. So we all we both walk into the cottage. And if I were smart, if I educated myself enough on it, I would have checked the time to see if there's a lapse in time.
There probably was.
But I don't know. So we walk into the house, and my grandma's scared.
Why? Was she witness? Was she seeing this stuff?
Yes. Yes. She is dead now. She died of cancer, brain cancer.
Sorry to hear that.
But anyway, my grandfather is a little bit angry because he's also a preacher. So he immediately runs some bath water. And according to the Bible, you're supposed to bathe 7 times if you see a demonic being.
He thought they were demonic, though, huh?
Right, right. Judging from the Old Testament. So he goes in and starts washing himself 7 times. I and my uncle are scared stiff, you know. So we go into the bedroom, and I slept on the floor, he slept on the bed, and my grandfather sat there on his typewriter. So anyway, then we go to sleep, we wake up, and my grandmother said that night she saw the orb come back down, and it went around the chicken coop. And she looked at it and said it looked like something like Satan.
It looked like Satan?
On the portrait. Yeah, it looked like Satan.
Jeez.
And then she turned on the porch light, and the orb shot right back up into the sky.
See, I think what you saw was a classic UFO case. I don't think it was demonic at all, at all. Last text or tweet, Tom.
Text from John in Brooklyn. In your mind, George, what's the biggest disaster of all time?
9/11 for me.
Yeah.
9/11 for me because it struck home here. As you know, I lost my mother's sister's husband's brother. What would that make him? Doug Gowell. He was in one of the planes. My mother's sister's husband's brother.
No idea what it would make him.
I guess a unrelated uncle, I guess.
Make him unlucky.
Something like that. That he died in the plane crash.
Sad.
But the other tragedy, of course, was the Indonesian tsunami that killed 250,000 people.
It's a lot of people.
I mean, that's horrible. Horrible.
They're all horrible.
Let's go to Bloomington, Illinois, in the time we have left. Hello, Linda. Welcome to the show.
I'll take off speaker here.
All right. Take me off
speaker. I have a question for you.
Sure.
You had that guy on there before, and he was talking about astrology and all that stuff.
Yep, Mark Lorner.
I have a police scanner.
Okay.
And if you only knew what is out there traveling on these interstates, it would make you want to stay home.
What do you mean?
Well, there was one the other night. He was from South Carolina. He was a sexual predator on the interstate.
In a car, obviously.
Yep. And then they had another one the next night that he was on the FBI watch list. And he was from Kansas. You would not believe the ones that I hear out there.
Well, you know what? There's crazies everywhere. Everywhere.
Well, I know you probably can't answer it. Do you think that any of these astrological signs have anything to do with these insane people that are out there doing all this crazy stuff?
No, I don't think there's any tie in there other than that there's a lot of sick people on this planet. And simple as that. On our next Coast to Coast program, we're going to talk a little bit about the Bermuda Triangle. So make sure you're part of the program as we move along into Wednesday, fast week already. And if you haven't yet, download our free apps in the App Store. They're free. They are going to upgrade the Android app, but you can grab it now. It still works in your App Store and for your Apple or your Android phone as well. And just play with it a little bit. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.